Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For too many Christians, dependence on God has morphed into dependence on a credit card. Why go without when it's so easy to charge it? Why pray about a need when you can just go buy what you want? Today, saying goodbye to the scourge of debt. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on Till Debt Do Us Part.
You know, the Bible says this, and isn't it accurate? Proverbs 22, verse 7, the borrower is the servant to the lender. And some of you who live with creditors, you know what that is like. You become a servant to those who have lent you money. Debt is a terrible, terrible pit to fall into. And you think of all of the credit card debt that people have, something like an average of $9,000. But that means that many people are way beyond the $9,000 because there are some people who pay off their credit cards at the end of every month. And so that takes into account the fact that there are those who are constantly, constantly going into debt. It's a terrible, terrible pit. Now, I want to speak to you frankly about this because, you know, when Rebecca and I were first married, we thought that some debt was okay. Whatever you needed, you put on a credit card. And then later we discovered, you know, we actually have to pay this off and at an amazing rate of interest. If you pay only the interest or make the monthly payment, take years and years and years because of high interest rates. There was a time when families looked at situations very differently. And you see, what we've done is we've undercut God. Let me explain. There was a time when families would say, you know, we need a new car. The old one is just absolutely broken down. It's not running anymore. And we need a better vehicle for our family. So we don't have any money for it, very little money. Can't go out and buy one. So let's pray together and ask God to do a miracle and to give us a better car. And they would cry up to the Lord. They would pray to God and say, God, you know our need. And somebody in church would see them and say, you know, I have a car that I think you folks could use. I'd like to give it to you. The whole family would rejoice in the fact that God answered prayer. We don't have that today. You walk in and you can, for 0% interest, and probably make the first payment within 6 months or a year. I don't know exactly how all that works. But you don't need to pray to God, because whatever you want, you can buy on credit. Now, there was a time when God led his people. The way in which God leads us is through poverty and through money or lack of it. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God said to the Israelites something very interesting. He said, you know, I led you in that wilderness, and there was no food, but I provided manna, and I provided clothing so that you might trust me. You see, we don't need that trust today. We have the credit card. Some of you, quite frankly, should do some plastic surgery at this point. I can lend you some scissors. Those of you who are young people, you know, high school students going into college debt. I read that about, I think, a third of college students wish that they hadn't gone to college because all that they graduated with was a lot of debt and oftentimes very poor jobs. You know that there are alternatives out there. I've talked to Pastor Bob about that, and he sent me some very good alternatives to counsel young people. But you see, the debt is absolutely overwhelming. I'd like to leave a challenge with you. Don't accumulate new debt. Don't accumulate new debt. Now, that might not always be possible, but if that would be a bottom line, that from today on we trust God. We're in a hole, we're in a pit, maybe of our own making, but we trust God. And see, as you cry up to Him, whether or not He shows up and helps you, so that you are not overwhelmed by continual debt. That is incredibly important. Number six, contentment. Now we're looking at this passage of Scripture, and this is what it says. Now is verse 6, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. Of course, Paul doesn't mean only food and clothing. If you live in the state of Illinois, for example, or any other northern state, you're going to need a house, you're going to need some heating oil, you're going to need some place to stay. But what Paul is saying is that the basics, if we have the basics, we should be content. Our problem is we aren't content. We aren't content. And as I mentioned earlier, it's okay to better your position and so forth, but at the end of the day, we look at ourselves and we think that we have to be like our parents or our grandparents or the neighbors or whatever. I was in a home one time where the people were poor. I'm talking about dirt poor. No rugs on the floor, just the basics of life. And you know, there was so much joy in that family. There was so much happiness because they understood having food and raiment, therein we shall be content. I hope I'm wrong, but I believe that the day is going to come to the United States of America when God is going to humble us and bring us down to the level of people in other countries. I've been in countries of the world where little children come begging, pulling on your pant leg for a handout. Children that are hungry, children who probably have nowhere to lay their head at night. What a heartbreaking circumstance. And yet we think to ourselves, some of us at least, that we are owed this and that and the other thing, and without it we cannot be content. Some people think that the Apostle Paul most assuredly never lived in the state of Illinois. And the reason is because, you remember in the book of Philippians, he says, I have learned in whatever state I am therein to be content. The other day I just typed into Google, Illinois debt. And I wanted to see how many billions we are in debt. And I discovered that maybe there's no agreement. I won't even give you a number, but it is beyond belief. And yet our legislature is totally paralyzed, unable to act, unable to do anything about it as we keep going this direction. And someday, the experts say, the house of cards is going to come down. But I've learned in whatever state I am, therein to be content, said the Apostle Paul. He said, I know how to be a humbled. I know how to be abased. He said, I know what it is to suffer want and need. I also know what it is like to be blessed by a good income. At least sometimes he did during his tent-making experience. Have you and I prayed that God would make us content, so that we would live within our income rather than beyond it? Number seven, generosity. Generosity. Should people give even out of poverty? I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but in a sense, it depends on how much you really do love God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians regarding the Macedonians, it says they gave out of their extreme poverty. Wow. No wonder they received a special blessing. You know, the Bible says, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. The person who sows generously will reap generously. Now, you know that we are opposed to what is known as the name it, claim it, money, wealth theology. But the Bible does, in 2 Corinthians, connect very clearly generosity with God's blessing. For example, it says that if you are generous, you will reap a harvest of righteousness. That's why I think proportionate giving is important, even in the midst of poverty, to give something to God to remind us that all of it is His, and we are giving Him the opportunity to test Him and to indeed receive a blessing. It's not dollar for dollar. It's not I give God $10 and He'll give me $100 back. No. But God is generous and blesses those who are generous with that which means most to us, means a great deal to us, namely the whole issue of money. And so I invite you to be generous. Don't say to yourself, well, you know, we're going to pay all of these bills, and then if we happen to have something left over. No, give something to God first. And then as He prospers you, do as our experience has been in our home, where we increase the amount of percentage over and over again as we experience God's blessing. Let us be a generous people. You know, this is Pastor Lutzer. Oftentimes I've mentioned in a sermon that someday when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to be looking at our checkbook, and we're going to have to give an account for the way in which we used His money. Now, that's easy to say, but when you stop to think of it, if that is right, it's very sobering, isn't it? I encourage you as a wife, as a husband, as a father, as a child, think through very clearly the way in which you are going to use your money. In this message, of course, I warned against debt, but I also talked about the blessings that come to those who are generous. Another statement I've made often is that if you are stingy, you're probably not a Christian, because after all, how can we receive so freely the wonderful, matchless grace of God and then not in turn give and give generously as the Scripture exhorts us? You know, the message that you have just heard, it's really part of a larger series entitled Fighting for Your Family. And in it, I deal with the kinds of issues that oftentimes bring disunity and break up marriages. Now, it's very important that you discuss these issues, such as abuse and entertainment and addictions and the topic of money that we heard about today. I trust that God will bless your marriage. And now you stay tuned for a very important message.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. We're hearing Till Debt Do Us Part, the fifth of 10 messages on fighting for your family. One of the best ways to kill the virus called greed is to release some money to others. Next time on Running to Win, how being generous can help us overcome the trap of being in debt. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.